Hello and welcome to Fourth Estate, a show about journalism. We're coming to you from 2SCR in Sydney on the lands of the Gadigal people, right across Australia on the Community Radio Network and directly to your device across the globe via podcast. I'm Anthony Dockrell. A bill that could mean a forced sale or even a ban on TikTok passed the US Congress last week with bipartisan support. TikTok is owned by ByteDance, a Chinese company, and as TikTok has grown in popularity, so has the scrutiny and paranoia around this new player in the social media space. Does a ban on TikTok mark a sensible and prudent step in national security, or is it a sign that we are fast moving into a new Cold War? To discuss this, we are joined by Marina Zhang, who is an associate professor at the Australian-China Relations Institute, which is part of the University of Technology Sydney. And joining us as well is Wanning Sun, who's a professor of media and cultural studies at the University of Technology Sydney. Marina Zhang and Wanning Sun, welcome to Fourth Estate.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you for having me.
Now, TikTok has over a billion monthly users, and if that figure isn't impressive enough, 21% of the internet uses TikTok. It has a third of mobile users. In many respects, it is a tech success story of the last decade. However, it's fair to say that the narrative around TikTok lately is not about its success. How would the two of you characterize that narrative? Marina, you can go first.
I'm a tech person, so my research is in technological innovation, and more and more I'm looking at technological development innovation in the context of geopolitics. So TikTok sits really well in this intersection of technology and geopolitics. So you're right, of course, it's not just about technology. In fact, it's about geopolitical power struggles between the two largest countries in the world.
And Wanning, how do you view the narrative?
Coming from a media studies perspective, which is my area of expertise, focus on Chinese social media, both the Chinese language social media such as WeChat or Chinese-owned social media platforms such as WeChat, is the range of Western narratives surrounding these platforms. And one of them being that, they tend to be seen by the West as a platform for the Chinese propaganda or for the Chinese government to exert their influence. That's one kind of trope, if you like. The other one is it's a Chinese company, so to the West there is security concern because both sort of platforms are known to have provided sort of a, and technically it's possible to provide information to the Chinese government, and the Chinese government and on occasions have requested information and so on and so forth. But having said that, I would just say, as Marina said, it's all part of the geopolitical narrative in the sense that other big tech companies such as Facebook and Twitter are equally lend themselves to all sorts of issues such in ranging from privacy issues on one hand and to sort of confidentiality and allowing the government and major companies to access information on the other. But somehow it seems that the geopolitics is such that these two Chinese platforms tend to, and a range of other Chinese platforms as well. And we will see other platforms mentioned in the future because they get to play it out in a geopolitical larger context.
Yes. And look, as someone who's not on TikTok, but a parent, so aware of TikTok, but to me, TikTok is crazy dances and sketches about Harry Potter and all that sort of thing. It does seem a bit confusing about the nature of the debate around this platform, but it fundamentally comes back to user data and the ability of that data to be mined. Marina, can you go through, I guess, in some detail, why people are so concerned about TikTok?
Depending on how you define who are concerned about TikTok. So I read several different surveys in the US. The survey basically tried to investigate how many people, what are the percentage of the population at different age groups and how concerned they have about TikTok imposing national security threats. So you can see the older the survey groups are, the more concerns they have. But on the other hand, you can see, well, the majority of the users of TikTok's platform is actually young people. So it seems people, they don't use TikTok, they have more concerns about national security. But the fact of a video creating, a video sharing platform, I mean, is a social media platform, right? So it's, as Wan-Ying said, it's the same as all the other platforms in the US. And the critical thing is, well, so who can have access to the data of the platform? So if I remind you of the audience of this show, 20 years ago, when Google launched its search engine in China, obviously the Chinese government had very clear rule. That is, you must have your data stored in servers located in China. And the data actually is subject to the government check. And of course, Google said, okay, we cannot possibly obey those rules. Those are evil. So they left, fine and dandy. But there was never a clear-cut rule. What kind of threats TikTok as a platform is threatening the U.S. national security? And what are the best ways to solve these problems? No. So the TikTok basically did two things. First, to lobby the politicians in Washington, D.C. And second, to spend a lot of money, so in this so-called Texas project, to relocate data stored on servers in the U.S. And all those things, well, two things didn't work. So it's just the question I'm having is, well, is this just a kind of struggle, a Chinese-oriented tech company originated from in China, is facing this kind of geopolitical risk in the U.S., or this is actually a battle beyond that?
And that's, I think, the conundrum in all of this. It's interesting that you mentioned Google. I mean, and Google and Facebook, you know, famously aren't available in China. So there is an asymmetry to the whole situation here. Is that asymmetry just was naturally going to mean that there was going to be a dispute like this? It was just inevitable?
Right. Well, as I just mentioned, Google and Facebook, they chose to leave China. The reason is because they felt the rules imposed on them by the Chinese government was not fair and was in their own words, deemed as evil because they just couldn't possibly to have the data stored in China. So that's why they left. And that's the reason on the surface. But on the other hand, it is Chinese companies, local firms, competitors to both Facebook and Google. So they received a lot of government support directly or indirectly. So they actually hold the majority of the market share. So if you cannot compete with the local ones, you leave. So you can explain the situation in both ways. And if you look at Microsoft and even Apple and Tesla in recent cases, and they chose to work with the Chinese government to comply with Chinese government rules, so they actually use the servers located in China. So is in the end, you find if you make money, if you have commercial success, you tend to stay. Otherwise, you know, all the other causes, what do you call it, freedom of expression, or you do no evil kind of ideology, overtake your business decisions.
I never really thought of Facebook as a very moral company.
Right. Okay.
Do you think that this asymmetry has meant that we were always going to have this issue?
I think so. I think, it does look, there is obviously the asymmetry here, right? You know, the Chinese people cannot access all these major tech companies. Although, mind you, a lot of people use VPN. Hmm. Like, you know, I was talking to a Chinese class visiting us in Australia and asked about 20 of them, and I said, how many of you use VPN to access Western platform? Not a single person didn't raise their hand. So everybody was using VPN. So it's not that actually not available. It's just that you have to go through another hurdle. Having said that, that the government not allowing them to be in China is itself why you wanting to go and have your platform overseas. It is you know, patently not symmetrical. So that is why a lot of people in the West who want to ban this Chinese, they just think there's no reciprocity here. There's no equity here. You know, if you want a free market, you know, that we should actually everybody. But having said that, I think what the US is trying to do seems to be motivated by a protectionist impulse. In the sense that, you know, we are here for to protect the Australian, to protect the American market, the American, so that we don't want them to be threatened by attack from overseas, particularly from China, which is ideologically and, you know, in terms of security and, geopolitically is, you know, at our, you know, is hostile to us. So there is, you know, there's a whole range of reasons for them to not to trust or not to like. Whether they trust them is one thing, whether to like your presence is another thing. And I think as the US-China rivalry is going to continue, this kind of asymmetries is going to continue.
And the rhetoric around TikTok and in the debate that's just happened with the bill going through Congress, I thought was quite interesting, and it does point to the fundamental aspect of that's being disagreed here is the fact that the Chinese government has a level of control. But if you accept that and you accept that as a risk that has to be managed, then Xi'an, another company that needs to be looked at, BYD is another company. So you can just see that the issue here around TikTok is one that could cascade very quickly.
Yes,
and we could find ourselves in a major trade war. Are both of you concerned that the TikTok situation isn't an isolated issue about a successful social media platform, but something that is far more far-reaching?
Yes, I'm a tech person, so I believe in the force of free market, and I don't necessarily think government control of a platform is good. But in this case, it's just like, I mean, the US is. You can say it's retaliating the fact that Google and Facebook were banned in China, or you can say it's walking away from a free market principle. So why I'm saying that? Well, it's just, you know, you say if potentially Chinese government can repatriate the user data stored in the US if in the case of war, in the case of whatever. But that's just the same as you assume somebody owns a gun, that person is going to kill. So that's not fair. That's not fair in the sense that this will open a much bigger new era in terms of what is a free market, what is the implications for other foreign investment companies in the US, BYD and Shane. And all those companies, they have already shown concerns of investing in the US because you never know in a free market, like the flagship free market in the world, like the United States, actually your business decision is not purely business. You have to think about geopolitical factors. So if the case of TikTok is going ahead, with the passing at the Senate and the president, and this is going to totally change the international business, international relations.
I think this TikTok situation could be looked at in one of the two ways. One is as a communication platform in the same way as WeChat, and then the Americans or the West could be wary of that because it can carry content that is, that you know, from their point of view, has sort of propagandistic purposes that, you know, doing the bidding of Chinese government, so to speak. So that, you know, within the ecosystem of media landscape, you know, it's something to worry about. You know, both WeChat and TikTok, you know, fall into that category. Although WeChat is different in the sense that its primary users are people in the Chinese diaspora, where the TikTok users are in the so-called Western mainstream, right? So this is within the ecosystem, media ecosystem. But stepping out of that media system, looking at TikTok as one of the tech sort of product, if you like, and then BYD as a vehicle, as a, you know, as a car, and TikTok as a, you know, platform, or security camera as another electronic goods or something, and cranes, you know, the American, now I actually considering, you know, looking at the cranes that come in from China in American harbor, you know, on the possibility that they might be a sort of carrying spywares or something like that. So again, the whole range of products that once upon a time is just part of this globalization of, you know, of media, of import and export and infrastructure, and now need to be reviewed in a completely different light. So it's sometimes that's a way of saying the room hasn't changed. It's the lighting has changed.
There's a heightened paranoia, which has no end. I mean, if you're looking at something like an electric car, yes, it's an electric car, but if you are paranoid, it's got a computer and it's got a screen and a microphone and it's listening to me and you're kind of going down a road that ends up in a very silly but also dark place. Now, look, just to be devil's advocate here, there is a precedent for what we're seeing or what's being proposed with TikTok. Grindr was originally owned by a Chinese company, was forced to be sold. This is many years ago, but it was forced to be sold because it was viewed that the sensitive nature of the data that Grindr would hold on a whole lot of people, including government officials. That sale took place and Grindr is a successful company. Is that a sensible model for TikTok, or is TikTok too big and is it, I guess, also too prestigious for this to happen?
I mean, for any company, TikTok is a very young company. And it's so far, from my study of international business in tech company, internationalization is the most successful one. And it created this very new business model. But nevertheless, it's very new. It's learning how to deal with complex cultural, institutional, legal frameworks in a country where everything is totally different from China's. So if the company was indeed doing something that was deemed not quite right, I think the company has put enough attention and commitment to correcting what they have done wrong. And they try to, without any clear rules, they try to do everything to convince the politics and the public that they are a decent international company operating in the US, and they're creating not just a home for young people to express their ideas, and also for, I mean, a large number of small businesses to make a living on the platform. So, I mean, this is a typical learning curve, and it's just my concern is, again, back to the free market, the principle is, it's just because of national security concern is overarching, and you just don't need to have any evidence, and you can just say, okay, let's pass this bill to ban this company. That itself is really worrying. It's really opening this new age, new era of doing international business.
I think to answer your question, Anthony, as whether TikTok could actually think about following the model of Grindr and sell, I personally would find it very hard to imagine that it would sell, because it is, even though it's very young, it's very, very big. And it's seen to be, you know, it's similar to Huawei in terms of its, you know, influence and its impact, and in terms of the way that it's raised the Western consciousness about, you know, the threat of China. So I think it's not just a practical business matter. It's going to be a symbolic sort of a matter. So I think from my point of view, I think any sort of attempt to sort of give in, if you like, to the American sort of request would be seen by people back in China as somehow succumbing to the pressure. So I think that has that has implications in terms of the nationalistic sentiment, consumer sort of pro-China sort of sentiment. So I think they would have to think very, very long and hard, and there is too much to lose, you know, in terms of the political capital. That's my. But the other point that Marina was mentioning about national security that's attached to the discussion about these social media platforms from China is that I think there are two issues. One is the capability, the other is the intention. So far, all these social media platforms have the capability to surveil, to access data, but whether they have the intention to consistently and regularly do that or not is another issue, right? I think they don't trust China because China is, you know, they just decided it's not a country with a communist government, so we're not supposed, we can't trust them. So we don't know what their intentions are. Even though they promised them they're not going to do that, we can't trust it, they're not going to do that. But I've just come across some most recent data from the intelligence source that's published in this forum called Intercept, and which actually says that, you know, that the intelligence spokesperson in the US has now explicitly said to whoever writing the article that the fact that the, you know, TikTok constitute a national threat is purely hypothetical. Yeah, the word is purely hypothetical. In other words, we have no evidence, but we don't trust their intentions. Right. So the same is with WeChat. You know, Trump, when he was the president, issued an executive ban on WeChat, citing national security reasons. But a San Francisco-based legal firm took Trump to court on the grounds of freedom of expression and challenged Trump's government to provide evidence of national security. They couldn't come up with any.
Interesting. And one of the interpretations too I've seen of the bill is that there's basically a time frame that a sale would need to take place. And what I've heard, and it's just an opinion, but it was from a source that I would trust, the time frame given for the sale is completely insufficient when we're talking about a company of this size. You don't go and buy a TikTok in, you know, over a weekend. Not that they're giving that sort of time, but they're giving 165 days. And they were saying that it's just insufficient when you're talking about a company that could be worth between $40 to $200 billion to be doing a sale. So effectively, it's a ban. But I want to go back to what we were just talking about before. A lot of people think that China would not allow TikTok to be sold. Do you both think that as well? But basically, if it came down to ByteDance saying we want to sell TikTok and just basically cash out, it's too difficult, we want to take the money and go, but the Chinese government would just say no.
As we argued in the conversation article, from the perspectives of both the company and the country, the sell is almost impossible. So the company, as we argued, if it agreed to sell the company at a discounted price, it will be considered by the majority of netizens in China as a kind of weak, spineless. And that will really attract a lot of criticisms of TikTok's parent company, ByteDance. ByteDance has at least five different video platforms targeting a different companies, different market segments in China. And it also faces a very strong competitor, which is domestic oriented. It's called Kuaishou, similar business model as TikTok. So the company's business in China will suffer a lot. And second, the Chinese government is not going to, in the first instance, the government has already issued the ban of selling any advanced algorithms to foreign countries. So this is actually very clear. Mm. So it is very difficult for the company to argue that the core technology behind TikTok is not in that advanced algorithm category. So it's very unlikely.
Okay, so look, India has already banned TikTok. And when it left India, most of the TikTok users went to Facebook and Instagram. It's likely that something like that would happen in the US if TikTok ceased to exist there. The bottom line, which I think a lot of people aren't really thinking about, what that really means is a greater concentration for Meta, which already has a huge control of that market, that it was essentially becoming a monopoly. Have people actually thought through the real, the real implications?
It will be very hard. And you think about it, you stay with a platform, actually you stay, you have this lock-in effect as a user. Basically, you have your followers, you have your groups, you have, if you're a creator, you have all your created videos and, people's reactions to your videos on the platform. And closing down the platform means you lose all those things. Those are intangible assets for users. Can you really easily transfer those to a different platform? Is almost impossible, especially TikTok now in the US is not just a social media platform. It is a stream commerce platform. Mm. So people making a lot of money out of their followers on the platform. So closing down basically means all those people will lose their digital assets or digital footprints on the platform. And plus, you look at the market segmentation. I mean, how many young people under the age, let's say 21, use Facebook? Mm. I have a teenager. I have a teenager daughter. One is just out of teenager years. And they don't use Facebook because they think that's old people's platform. So it's quite clear. Then they're targeting a different user groups.
Anthony, your question about if TikTok closes down, wouldn't they would have people thought about the further concentration of the big ones? Well, and I think Trump has thought about the implications.
That's true,
and he doesn't like it because he doesn't like TikTok users migrating back to Facebook because he thinks that Facebook has done him in. So,
a gigantic flip flop from him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's move to Australia. Have there been talks about banning TikTok? We tend to follow America, especially when it comes to matters of security. Mm. What's the talk in the government circles about TikTok?
Well, it depends on which politicians you're talking about. Peter Dutton, a leader of opposition, was quick off the mark saying that we should follow America and consider banning. And soon after that, a shadow minister for cybersecurity and the Home Affairs, James Patterson, has said similar things. On this issue, it seems to that the Labour government so far it's been very clear. And I'm actually quite impressed that they actually made their position fairly clear very soon. And they just said, we have no plans to do that. We are our own country. We make our own decisions.
Marina Yong and Wanning Sun, thanks for being on Fourth Estate.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening to the program. This edition was recorded at the studios of 2RCR and heard across the country on the Community Radio Network. Fourth Estate is produced with the assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Thanks to the foundation for their continuing support. Make sure you subscribe to Fourth Estate on your favourite podcast app so you can hear us talk about media, politics, and a lot in between. We'll be back for more next week, but in the meantime, you can stay in touch with us on Twitter. Our handle is Fourth Estate AU, and we are also on Threads. I'm Anthony Dockrell. Thanks for listening.